Asha Saxena. Asha is a director for several for-profit companies. She served as CEO of Aculus Corp, a healthcare data analytics firm. She's built an e-commerce company and served as CEO of Future Technologies, Inc., which is an international data management solutions firm, and she did that for over 20 years. Asha is an adjunct professor at Columbia Business School, where she teaches big data analytics and entrepreneurship courses for graduate students, and is also a keynote speaker on big data. And she's also the host of the Dive with Data podcast. Welcome to Onward Nation, Asha.
Thank you for having me, Stephen.
Well, thank you for saying yes. And I'm really looking forward to our conversation that we're going to have and sharing your insights and wisdom with Onward Nation. But before we dive into the questions that I want to ask you, actually take us behind the curtain. And I mean, your bio is impressive, obviously. You've enjoyed quite a bit of success over the last several decades, but I know there's a lot of story there. So take us behind the curtain and tell us more about you and your path and your journey, and then we'll dive in with the questions.
You know, when I think about my journey, the big highlight for me and my career is that I see myself as an entrepreneur who really came from nowhere. I graduated as a computer science engineer in India, and I came to U.S. As a young professional, being a computer science engineer working for a financial services company in New York. And at a very early stage, I found a mentor as in my boss who encouraged me to start my own business. And at 24, I started my company, Future Technologies, which we doubled every year for the first 5 years and grew it to about 200 employees very, very soon. So by late 20s, I was running a decent-sized business, managing several employees, and was struggling a little bit with the growth I was having. So if I have to say, the early on highlight in my career was to be a CEO of a very fast-growing company and having employees who are looking up to you for guidance and direction when you are still so young and trying to figure out your own way.
Yeah, and you're right. That can certainly be a struggle in and of itself. As I'm thinking about all the things that can go along with that. I mean, you really took me into your story. So that is awesome. So let's slice that apart a little bit. So running a company, young age, fast growing company, what were some of all of the struggle points? Like, what were some of the other struggle points that made that challenging, but then also how you got past them?
Sure. You know, so just to kind of continue with that path, as an entrepreneur, I built my first company, Future Technologies, built an e-commerce company, took 3,000 dealers online, and then my healthcare software company, as I said, and I took that journey. But I did a lot of mistakes as I was growing my businesses. There were lots of lessons learned. You know, I think that a fast-growing company and being successful at a young age can be a blessing in disguise. You learn a lot. You learn all the things you should not be doing when you're growing a company that fast. You start sacrificing the kind of employee, the quality of your employees as you're trying to just staff to execute on the project and delivery. And I realized that at that time, for my first company, it was such a rush to deliver to the customer that we started sacrificing quality. And it was a big lesson during 9/11 when the market crashed and all the projects we focused on, the right people on the right jobs, we could retain, we could sustain. But every other project which we did not have focus on quality and we kind of ignored the quality element within the resources, they struggled. So it was a very tough lesson to realize that business can come easy during the height of your business and during the growth period. But if you don't focus on your people and build your people and don't focus on the quality of work and the delivery, it would be challenging.
Onward Nation, this is such a such a valuable lesson that Asha is sharing with us right now, because, you know, I think the popular misconception is that businesses go out of business when there's not enough opportunity. But the reality is, and Asha and her team were able to negotiate their way through this, but that indigestion, the reality is that most businesses go out of business because of indigestion, too much opportunity, and not being able to do it properly, not being able to maintain quality standards, not being able to recruit the right teammates and properly train and onboard and so forth. So it's not the starvation that kills most companies. It's the indigestion that Asha is describing. So that's why it is such a valuable lesson. Part of building and scaling a business is making sure that we pay attention to all of the things that Asha just shared. And so thankfully they buckled down and did that. But wow, what I bet going through that process was pretty darn painful, wasn't it?
It was very painful because, you know, you start investing in your people and your company and your customers, and that becomes your identity, your personal identity. As a CEO, you start attaching yourself to the business, and when you start failing or if one of your projects fails, it was hard for me. I was young and I was taking it to the heart and saw that as a reflection on me. And there were several nights I couldn't sleep, and I would come back and I had to let go of people. And I realized that there were some people who were just wrong for the job. They were just in the wrong position. And so I went through 2 years of revamping and really focusing on the employees and building the company back again with the right structure. We realized that instead of being a generalist, we needed to be more focused on what we were good at. And we spent a lot of time in analyzing the project and success that we were having and what would we continue repeating as providing value to our customers on their technology initiatives. You know, a lot of people pick on technology projects. A lot of companies will know that they need to update their technology, but they don't align the technology well with businesses and what your business objective is. So just upgrading your technology for the sake of technology does not help. That becomes a cost. But how to turn that around into aligning your business objectives and your business strategies to the technology you have or you continue adopting is critical. And so that passion, that vision for becoming the key spokesperson for businesses, and we were working with Fortune 100 companies, and there's a lot of misalignment between technology, IT groups, and business groups. So we really focused down on creating best practices for letting our customers win, not just win just because we are implementing the best database or best CRM or best digital marketing strategy, but also figuring out what is their business goals and do those technologies align to what their business goals are. So having the focus in our business and having internally really aligning our resources to what we were good at really helped us continue on that growth path.
So you've been a CEO and a business leader for a long time. And so as you think about your vital priorities, how you organize, tackle your day, are there any tips, any secrets that you've discovered along the way that help you focus and prepare to tackle your most vital priorities each day?
You know, I tell you, being a leader for, as you said, for several years, I've been now a CEO for now 21 years. And being a CEO, the most important job for a leader is to be not a manager, but be a true leader. Empower your people to go execute. You know, I spend a lot of my time coaching and letting my teams win. You know, the more you let your management team do the job and win and enable them to empower them to win, the easier the job of a CEO becomes. And a lot of times when you're in a small business or mid-sized business, you'll find a lot of times the CEO are very engaged in day-to-day. The role of a good leader is to be a good coach and let your team, your management team, go out and perform. giving them the right metrics. It's very important to define success for them. It's very, very important for a CEO to have a clear vision, a clear path, and a clear strategy. But eventually, the execution comes from your people. If you don't have the right team, CEO can be only good as he is for himself or herself. But if you want the company to do well, you need to have the right team in place who understands your vision and your mission and understand how to execute and knows how the success looks like. A lot of times, if you go to a company, one division, everybody's siloed, and their success might not match the other division's success. And there's a lot of issues just because of that, because people are not aligned. So the job of a CEO is to empower and help your management team, your professionals within the organization be successful by having a clear vision and clear strategy.
Love it. Okay, so let's think about the empowering in helping your leadership team, painting that picture, giving them a clear strategy. So let's think about all of that as a role. So what do you think is the most critical skill then for a business owner, for a leader to be able to master that? Like, what do they have to be good at? I mean, it's one thing to say empowering, set the vision and so forth, but let's slice that apart. Is there a skill in there that you have found in your experience that has made you good at that?
So the most important skills a CEO needs to have is to have a clear vision, of course, you know, be clear where they're going so that the team can follow the leader. Second is be a motivator. Make sure that you're motivating your team and making sure you're creating the followers who are excited about the journey. And third, having the processes together, making sure there's no conflict when you're creating the process that's seamless. Overall, as a CEO, you have to be a coach. You have to be a mentor. You have to let your team succeed and win. It's not you alone who can succeed just by your skills and just, you know, knowing it all. It's the power of the team which makes a company great. So having the right culture, having the right people, having the right processes is critical for a CEO to bring it all together. You know, I live in the world of data, and I've built data companies for now 2 decades. And I am involved with a lot of conversation about how you measure and how the biggest thing I see when I'm working with my clients is that they don't know what the success looks like. You know, having siloed functions within your business, defining what the success looks like is very, very important. And then you have all this data you collect. You have tons of data you're collecting in your sales, in your finance, in your supply chain. What are you doing with that? Can you now start creating metrics? Can you start understanding where your hidden jewels are within your data to help you with your strategy, your business strategy?
So you mentioned coaching, you mentioned mentorship a couple of times in our conversation, and those are, as Onward Nation knows, some of my two most favorite topics within the business context, because there's so much value when leaders truly mentor and help their teammates grow. And so let's go down that path a little bit, but actually turning the tables on you. And so tell us about the most influential lesson, Asha, that you ever learned from one of your mentors, and then how that lesson helped you become the CEO, the entrepreneur you are today.
So I am completely with you on mentoring and coaching. As a leader, it's our duty to mentor and coach our management team, our employees, our you know, professionals. I'm big on that. And I think if a leader is not mentoring his team, they are doing disservice. For me, my mentor was Steve, who was in my first job. My first job, and I was an engagement manager for Merrill Lynch. My boss came to me and said, you know, you're the highest performing engagement manager in the company. We're getting acquired, and you should start your own business. I would not have ever thought I could start my own business. And he was my boss, my coach, and my mentor. He believed in me. And I think just knowing that there's somebody who believes in you and your power of your knowledge and power of your execution, the fact that he believed in me that I could do it, I took the chance. I wouldn't have taken the chance on my own. So I think as a coach, and that's what I do as I continue, you know, I do some CEO coaching. I sit on the boards of, you know, some for-profit companies. And my goal is that when I'm coaching or when I'm mentoring the CEOs or, you know, my board members, my goal is to bring that confidence when I see and when I rightfully see that there is potential. So kind of really making sure that sometimes CEOs or, you know, board of directors don't see that potential in themselves. When you see a self-doubt, and even in my employees, my directors, my managers, paying that forward is believing in the people is so critical, and giving a little push is so, it can take you so long. I would have not been in the business if my mentor didn't tell me that he believed in me. And he does it till today. And I am still in touch with him. And if ever I have a self-doubt, I would call him and he would say, I knew you could do it.
Well, so take us back to that point. When he obviously expressed his belief in you, and in you're almost counteracting that by thinking, geez, really? I didn't know that I could. So why did you think that you would not be able to do it? Obviously, he encouraged you and helped you get past that. But why initially did you feel like you couldn't do it?
I was 24. I didn't know what, I had never seen anyone take that journey of being an entrepreneur. I didn't know what that meant to be an entrepreneur. I didn't know what I would be taking on running my own business. It was a foreign concept for me. It was never, I never even thought about it. And so for me, when he said, you can do it, I'm like, do what? How am I run the business? I don't know how to run a business. And he said, I'll guide you through it. And he gave me the phone on his desk and said, call this number. You can just register your company. And I'm like, oh my God, is that simple? And he's like, yeah, it's not hard to start a business. And so I had no idea how to start a business. It was my boss who actually helped me start my own business.
Wow. He sounds like an amazing mentor, a great friend, you know, somebody definitely to keep in your inner circle. That's awesome. Definitely the right person that you needed at that point in your life to get your business, your first business started. That's awesome.
And you know, we all get some angels in our life. We all, as we take our journey, we'll find somebody who become a supporter. And I think we all have to, and your listeners, and I think all of us have to become angel for somebody. Mm-hmm. As long as we pay forward and we help somebody else become successful, it always comes around. And I have taken it to heart, and I do that every time and every moment I get to see if I can help somebody else get ahead. Because, you know, somebody said once that the biggest happiness is when you make somebody else successful. Mm-hmm. There's no other happiness, you know, that amount of happiness you can ever feel. And I try constantly to let others win and let others be successful, because that's the best pay forward we could always do.
I think that there is definitely some truth in that. But I've also seen, and I'm sure you have too, the reverse of that too, where maybe a Steve comes along and says, gosh, I think that you've got the potential and really encouraging. But that person, for whatever reason, there's something inside that person where sure, they might have some, you know, disbelief in what they could do because they're 24 years old, whatever. And then that person never takes the leap. There's something in that entrepreneurial DNA. You didn't have the confidence at first. He inspired you, gave you the confidence, and then there was something inside you that said, well, yeah, I can go do that. It might be scary, but I'm going to go do it. And so we all have that opportunity where somebody might cross our paths. It's just, are we going to actually take the advice and actually take the leap? You did. That hasn't been rosy peaches and cream 100% of the time, but it never is, right?
I agree with you. And that's being an entrepreneur. Life is a risk, right? And they say you have to take some risk. But I say as an entrepreneur, you have to take a calculated risk. Good entrepreneurs measure and jump in. I knew that I had the skill. I knew that I had the technology and the knowledge to deliver to a customer. Mm-hmm. I had the reputation and I had the contacts. So I knew that the business would come in. And I was pregnant 8 months when I started my business, incorporated, and my younger son and my business were born the same month, the same
Wow. month. Wow.
I know. So it's like I had two kids born at the same time. And I tell you, we did not have to, my boss, Steve Fleischner, helped me negotiate my first contract with my client. We never had to take any debt because of the way the contract was negotiated. We got paid first and then we paid out. And these are like small things which as an entrepreneur you learn on the way, how to negotiate a contract, how to, you know, run payroll, how to, you know, deliver on time. But the calculated risk was that I knew that I had a customer. I knew that I would be financially secure. I knew that I had the talent and the skills to execute on the project I was, you know, starting my path on. And I had an advisor, a mentor, a coach, an advisor who was guiding me along the path for my first year.
Wow. Impressive. I know that we're quickly running out of time. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I have one question left for you, but before I ask it, I just want to say thanks. I want to say thank you for one, accepting my invitation, two, you know, coming onto the show and sharing with Onward Nation business owners the struggles that it's not all peaches and cream, but then also illustrating the power of mentorship and how influential it can be when we have an inner circle to help us guide our decisions. And then also to help us fill in the gaps of confidence when we need it, because oftentimes they may see something in us that we don't even see ourselves, which is the power of, you know, being mentored and being coached by somebody who has experience. And so thanks very much for sharing of yourself and your background and story, Asha. Really appreciate it.
I enjoyed it as well. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So here's my last question for you. So I'll give you a scenario and will give us a chance to go a little bit deeper into strategy. And so imagine you're standing in front of a room of brand new business owners, people just like you when you're starting out at the age of 24. And so they're battling their way through what might be fear or worry or doubt. Maybe they're just struggling to try and find their footing. What would be two or three strategies, Asha, that you would recommend that they focus on to best ensure success?
You know, first I would say congratulations for taking that step, because not everybody does. As you said, people think about it, talk about it, but nobody really jumps in. So the fact that all of you have jumped in to be an entrepreneur, I would congratulate you on that step, taking that decision. Second, it's not going to be an easy path. It never is. No matter what you do, it's not easy. So don't worry about the difficulties, but take that as a lesson learned. Every day is going to be a challenge, but it's going to be a lot of fun because you're doing it for yourself. If you don't do it for yourself, you'll be doing it for somebody else. So might as well do it for yourself. The strategies I would say is to make sure you have a solid, solid financial plan. Very important that you have a financial model. You know when you're going to make money. A lot of times entrepreneurs now jump in and start building businesses without a financial plan. You need to know when you're going to break even. When are you going to be in profit? Businesses are not a hobby. When you're building a business, it has to make money. And so we're living in a world where there are tons of business opportunities where I'm going to start an app. My business will make money. It's a free app or free service. You cannot be in a business if you're not making money. So focus on cash. Cash is king. Number one thing is having a solid financial plan. Second is having a business plan. How are you going to execute? And third, know your customer really, really well. Who's your customer? How does that customer look like? And are you hitting their need? What is their pain point? And are you covering that pain point? Those three things are the critical elements of building your business.
Great conversation, Asha. Thanks very much. And before we go, before we close out and say goodbye, please tell Onward Nation business owners the best way to connect with you.
You can always email me, asha@ashasaxena.com or asha@diewithdata.com. I also have a podcast called Die with Data. Please subscribe, listen to it and subscribe. And email me if you have any questions.
Okay, Onward Nation, no matter how many notes you took, or how often you go back and re-listen to Asha's words of wisdom, which I sure hope that you do. The key is you have to take what she so generously shared with you, the stories, the mentorship lessons, the importance on coaching and inner circle. Take that, apply it into your business right away and accelerate your results. And Asha, we all have the same 86,400 seconds in a day. And I am grateful again that you took time out of your compressed schedule to come onto the show to be our mentor and guide to help us move our businesses onward to that next level. Thank you so much, Asha.
Thank you very much.